What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Welcome to another episode of Strictly Business, the podcast in which we speak with some of the brightest minds working in the media business today. I'm Andrew Wallenstein with Variety. If you listened to this podcast last week, you caught part one of an interesting conversation with Greg Cross, CEO of Soul Machines, a fascinating venture that blends AI with the world of celebrity. Did you miss it? Well, go back, check it out, and we'll wait for you right here. But if you did listen, get ready for more right after these messages. Hi, this is Andrew Wallenstein with Variety's Strictly Business podcast. If you love Variety's podcast, you're going to want to try Variety Intelligence Platform, or VIP. It's a digital subscription tier on Variety.com for industry professionals to dig deeper into analysis and data that helps them be smarter about their business. VIP just launched a great new newsletter and offers more special reports than ever. So visit Variety.com/VIPSave for a 20% discount. We're back with Greg Cross, CEO of Soul Machines. Greg, I want to talk about a related trend we're seeing out there right now, the way influencers are using AI to train on audio footage of themselves to allow fans to pay like $1 a minute for a, I guess call it like a voice bot companion.
I get asked that question a lot, you know, particularly in you know, markets like Japan, where, you know, animated characters, I mean, in Japan, they sell robots to elderly people because they're lonely. So, right. You know, loneliness is a big problem in the world.
Yes.
As, you know, and certainly in this post-COVID era, we spend more time talking about loneliness as a mental health condition. So I think there's some really, you know, I mean, there's some fascinating opportunities, in that market as
opportunities
well.
That you are pursuing?
In terms of loneliness, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of, you know, if I think about the healthcare market, you know, and a lot of our healthcare is based on ambulance at the bottom of a cliff, you know. So, whereas maybe having a companion who helps you make better food choices about how much sugar you put in your mouth, for example. You know, we've got a diabetes epidemic looming for most of our healthcare systems in the not too distant future. So, you know, how might you use a healthcare companion to, you know, help you make better decisions about, you know, managing your wellness? So, I mean, these are areas that we are interested in. You know, one of the things, you know, we've done some incredible, you know, some really, really interesting, we've had some, you know, we have psychologists who work with us. And one of the things that, we've discovered from a lot of the different use case and applications, in many use cases, many applications, we as people prefer to speak to digital people rather than real people. For the very, very simple reason is when we speak to real people, we always fear judgment. An example I always use here is in the education system. We all, you know, when we go to high school, we attempt to learn another language, you know, French or Spanish or, you know, or Mandarin or Japanese or whatever. But very, very few people graduate high school fluent in that language. And the reason for that is, you know, we all process language syntax at different speeds. And so when we're sitting in our, you know, a Spanish class and, you know, we might ask one question of the teacher, but at the end of the day, we fear judgment of the teacher. We even fear judgment of our peer group even more. So imagine having a digital language tutor who doesn't care whether you do the same lesson 10 times or ask the same question 100 times. So, you know, these are some of the, you know, really, really interesting, you know, fields that we can get into
here. I mean, there's profound implications, but I bring it back to celebrity because I listen to this and I'm like, oh, so Angelina Jolie could teach me French. Oh, Angelina Jolie could be my virtual girlfriend. Like, oh, are you thinking at that level or different lanes?
Yes, I mean, I'm sure Angelina doesn't want to be in the business of renting your digital twin out as a girlfriend to, you know, and that's a decision she has to make for herself. It's her name, it's her likeness, her image, her brand. So let's be really, really clear about that. So,
But you see, I wonder if the next generation, or let's say the generation after the next generation of stardom could be redefined as the virtual girl, the popular virtual girlfriend, as opposed to the movie star. I mean,
look, of course. And as you've already highlighted, we've already seen some of this. I mean, I talked about Lou of Margaloo as a digital influencer, and 30 million followers. I mean, you know, a lot of celebrities would be really happy. Real life celebrities would be happy to have 30 million followers on social media. So it exists in real life. You know, we've already seen the emergence of the reality TV stars. Mm-hmm. As reality TV became a big media form factor for us in the last couple of decades. Completely different type of, completely different to the traditional Hollywood content that's been produced. So, these are variations of the same, of the themes that we have seen before. You do get to make a choice. You know, the where the line gets drawn and where we've already seen, we're already having debate about this, the world of deep fake videos.
Yes.
We've already seen a lot of unethical behavior in the space already, even though, the IP laws, the name, likeness, and image laws protect people, what we've seen with deepfake video, the bad actors in that space, they'll go and rip off a celebrity and literally put words in their mouth. That's an area that is, we're going to see more and more of that stuff in this world because, deepfake video tools literally are available to anybody and everybody today. So,
but how are you fundamentally different than a deepfake video, Soul Machines? I mean, is it the same thing essentially? I mean, I know that I'm talking about technologically. I know that you
technologically it's a different thing because if you think of deepfake video, you're taking existing video content to create new video content.
I see.
So it's still recorded content. So, if you're watching a deepfake video, I don't know, we've all seen the Barack Obama deepfake video. You can smile at that and wave it and jump up and down and, he's just going to keep saying what he's been told to say.
I see.
So that's video content. It's, if you think about it in the sort of the storytelling construct, that's what we call linear content. It's going to have a start of, a performance and an end to the performance, and the performance will be the same no matter how many times you play it. What I'm talking about is every conversation you have with a digital mellow will be a different one. Everyone could be different. The conversation I have with digital mellow will be completely different to the conversation you have with digital mellow.
But I hear that and I worry, not necessarily about Soul Machines in particular or yourself, but it's like in a way you're describing something that's even more powerful than a deep fake in the sense that it's interactive. So couldn't someone take this technology and use it for forces of evil, shall we say, where the autonomous animation has a evil agenda? I mean,
will it happen to us? Yes, it will. I mean, it is inevitable. Look at the end, here's the thing. It doesn't matter which technology you look at, any technology that we've invented, the vast majority of us use that technology for good, but any technology that we can think of that has ever we've ever invented, there have always been a small percentage of the population who are bad actors, who want to use it to rip people off or to, and that's a human trait. That exists in the real world. It will certainly exist in the digital people world, in the world of artificial intelligence as well. And that's, that's why the debate around regulation and how we want to manage it and how our governments are going to enforce regulation around it. That's why that debate is so important at this point in time, because, we haven't seen a technology that we've invented as human beings that has not been used for bad reasons.
And I'm not ascribing, negative evil intentions to you, but I do wonder, when you look at what deepfake artists, so to speak, are able to get away with in terms of, we'll just, rip off Tom Cruise's likeness and do this. Does a part of you say, well, why are we bothering to get authorized anything? We could,
Yeah, all I can say is, when you talk about the world of celebrity, you rip off a celebrity, you're going to have Hollywood lawyers.
Burt Fields on line one.
You're going to have Hollywood lawyers on line one, pretty damn quick. So, the simple reality is the IP protection and the name and likeness and image protection, the legal framework for that is pretty good already. So, if you rip off the likeness of a famous celebrity, you're going to have people coming down on you really hard, really, really quickly.
So in terms of, when I think about this comparison to deep fakes, also when I think about the virtual Mello, I would argue, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that I'll never, and I think you're saying this, virtual Mello, I'm never going to look at him and say, that's the real Mello, especially because he's making clear that it's not the real Mello. But are you deliberately staying in what they call that uncanny valley where you, or will the technology get to a place where I really won't be able to tell the difference?
Without a doubt, the technology will continue to improve, and the differences between digital Mello and real Mello will get less and less and less. You mentioned the uncanny valley, and the way we think about the uncanny valley, because digital Mello is you can tell it's a digital version of Mello.
Sure.
And we're clear that it's a digital version of Mello, but the uncanny valley, when you think about, it's a very subjective test. So the way we think about it is that digital character good enough to form an emotional connection with you as a real person? And one of the research and the analysis we do of the digital people we create, either for brands or in the world of celebrities, is yes, we are. A lot of people, the majority of people, the vast majority of people do feel capable, do feel like they have emotionally connected with digital Mello, as in the example that we have. So, that would say, we've crossed the uncanny valley. It's still not perfect, but we have crossed that uncanny valley because that emotional connection is critical. I mean, if you look at CGI movies we love and CGI movies that we don't, those that were the blockbuster successes and those that weren't, it all came down to the connection we felt to these made-up characters, these made-up CGI characters. So that's, while it's a subjective measure, there is, it's something we increasingly want to understand the science behind it.
I can't believe we've made it this far into the conversation without using the M word, metaverse.
The metaverse.
Because when I think about and we're having this conversation the week that Apple came out with Vision Pro, and obviously, Meta is out there and all that. It seems to me that when I, for instance, experience digital mellow on, you know, Instagram or Twitter, that's not really where these digital, you know, people are going to really flower. It's going to be in a metaverse environment. But where is, you know, the metaverse really isn't here yet. And some people are saying like, it's never going to be here. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I guess, this year we're all talking about artificial intelligence.
Last year
was the metaverse and Web3 and cryptocurrency. So, you know, the metaverse, you know, just because it's not cool anymore doesn't mean it's going to not happen. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the dot-com meltdown.
And, sure.
You know, I can remember back in those days, you know, people were shorting Amazon and saying, you know, Amazon will be dead just like the rest of the dot-com companies. Well, you know, here we are 20 plus years later and Jeff Bezos is one of the richest guys in the world and Amazon's is the biggest retailer on the planet.
Right.
So, you know, so the metaverse hasn't gone away. You know, we've got past the hype cycle that we had, you know, where we all got overexcited about it last year. And we're now into how do we build, you know, what are the building blocks of that metaverse experience? You know, one of the really, really important things is artificial intelligence is an incredibly important building block in the creation of these digital worlds of the future. You know, what we saw from, you know, what we've seen from Meta and the Horizons World experience and, you know, the marketing videos we saw with the Vision Pro announcement from Apple is, you know, we saw avatars that we create that we control in the metaverse. So I call that a form of human puppeteering.
Yeah. Sure.
So we can walk around in a room with our friends and we can interact with each other. But those types of human puppeted avatars, you know, when we're not there, you know, when we're off doing something in the real world, our avatars are dead. They're of no utility at that point in time. And that's where a technology like ours, and, you know, in conjunction with the synthetic voice, the AI voice technology, you know, we can create digital workers, you know, that can exist in the metaverse and do business in the metaverse while we're off doing something else. You know, when I go shopping in a 3D experience in the future, I will have, there will be digital shopping assistants who are there to emotionally engage with me and connect with me. Or maybe I'm a VIP customer and I get to speak to their digital brand ambassador, a digital version, I don't know, George Clooney, because I'm a VIP customer and George has an avatar that particular brand has hired to represent them in the metaverse. So these are the sorts of exciting things that, you know, are still yet to come. I think of the metaverse as being an all-encompassing digital world. You know, so, you know, Mellow, yes, we promote Mellow on social media because that's where the eyeballs are today. But, you know, you can, you know, Mellow will exist in websites. Mellow will exist in e-commerce stores. Mellow will exist in kiosks. Imagine a world in the future where you walk into, you know, see your favorite basketball game play and, you know, digital Mellow is there in a kiosk, you know, and you can ask him questions about, well, what do you think is going to happen in the game tonight, Mellow? I mean, so all of these are digital worlds. And just because, you know, the metaverse is the next instantiation, the next construct or the concept, you know, every digital world I think is contiguous. I don't see the smartphone going away, you know, anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple Vision Pro announcement was incredible. There were some amazing technologies which, you know, surprised us, you know, and that's fantastic. So we're seeing some interesting breakthroughs, albeit at a eye-watering price point at this point in time. You know, so the smartphone's not going to go away anytime soon. So for me, it becomes how your digital people, how your digital experiences can move seamlessly between the 2D internet and smartphone enabled world of today into the 3D, you know, headset, you know, or glasses world of the future and back.
We'll be back with more with Greg Cross, CEO of Soul Machines, in just a moment.
Hi, this is Andrew Wallenstein with Variety's Strictly Business podcast. If you love Variety's podcasts, you're going to want to try Variety Intelligence Platform, or VIP. It's a digital subscription tier on Variety.com for industry professionals to dig deeper into analysis and data that helps them be smarter about their business. VIP just launched a great new newsletter and offers more special reports than ever. So visit variety.com/VIPSave for a 20% discount.
We are back with the CEO of Soul Machines.
So your business is not dependent on the metaverse starting tomorrow.
Nope.
Which is great. But what, you know, is it tough to plan for the future of your business when I think it's still unclear, even if you believe in your heart of hearts that the metaverse is going to happen, when is it going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, I mean, we have an incredible, you know, rapidly growing business in the digital worlds that we have today. You can talk to, you know, digital people off your smartphone today. You know, we are embedding digital people in websites, e-commerce stores, smartphone apps, because brands are looking for new ways to create that emotional connection, that brand connection in today's digital world. So it's a huge space as it exists today. Every executive, every manager, and literally every employee and any business in the world is now thinking today, they weren't 3 months ago, they are thinking about how AI can make them more productive. You know, kids at college, you know, are thinking about how they can use ChatGPT to help them do their homework or write their essays and do their assignments. I mean, so the whole world is now thinking about, you know, in today's digital world, you know, not before, you know, way before the metaverse, people are thinking about, you know, how artificial intelligence is going to change the productivity. You know, we've seen, you know, some people who are way smarter than me come out and say, this is the biggest productivity shift for industry, you know, since the PC was invented. And they're right. You know, so we will see enormous, you know, productivity gains. So the digital worlds of today are going to evolve, you know, incredibly quickly over the next, you know, and the breathtaking speed with which we're seeing things change at the moment is amazing. So, you know, nobody's sitting here, you know, waiting for the metaverse to happen, but, you know, the building blocks of the metaverse. The metaverse, you know, despite the fact that it's not cool this year, it's still growing. Yeah, I mean, there are still billions of dollars being, you know, spent by consumers in metaverse applications and big brand advertisers who are taking a long-term view of how this will evolve and how they connect with the generation of people who will grow up, you know, using the metaverse as their primary digital platform in the future. So, yeah, it's. I don't have a perfect crystal ball, any better than anybody else's. So, but yeah, the build, you know, it continues to build, it continues to grow. I mean, the one thing I'd say to people, you know, there were plenty of people betting against Jeff Bezos back in 2001, and yet, you know, the internet came, you know, became a bigger and bigger part of our lives. You know, I mean, if you think about the initial .com revolution, you know, and the .com, you know, that started what, late 90s, you know, we had the .com bubble bust in 2001. It wasn't until 2007 when a company that, you know, we've just been talking about created the device that democratized the internet for everybody, the smartphone. That was 6 years, 6-7 years later. There's lots of steps to come yet.
So, but with your eye on the future, do you worry that, okay, the metaverse, let's say it starts in full flower next year, do the gatekeepers of that experience, let's say it's Meta, let's say it's Apple, could they sort of look to Soul Machines and A, maybe they want to acquire you, B, maybe they don't want to acquire you, and just as the way they sort of tend to co-opt other people as businesses that they think could be a threat, maybe they're like, yeah, to be in this part of the metaverse, you're going to need to license our own sort of digital. Like, so how do you have concerns about that?
Of course, and that is the entrepreneur's journey. That is certainly the tech entrepreneur's journey. You know, the big platform guys, the big guys, they set rules, they set standards, you know, they decide who gets access and who doesn't get access. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of the challenge of building a business like Soul Machines. You have to figure out how you make yourself valuable to those people, how you position yourselves in those worlds. You know, how we, you know, how we can use different parts of these technologies. You know, my job as CEO and as a co-founder is to create value for my shareholders, the people that have trusted me with their money. You know, so you know, that's the constant, you know, that's one of the constant challenges. I'm just not worrying about where the next big tech breakthrough is coming from. I've got to sit there and worry about, you know, who the players are and how, you know, it's like playing chess on multiple levels. Well, it feels like it's playing chess on multiple levels. And then you throw in the schizophrenic world that is the tech sector at the moment. I mean, the tech sector has just been, you know, from a capital market point of view, has been through the biggest adjustments in the last, you know, biggest downturn since the dot-com drop. You know, the dot-com bubble burst back in 2001. Last year was, you know, the biggest downturn in the tech industry. Yeah. And yet all of a sudden, you know, almost unexpectedly, you know, we've got this whole AI movement and trend, which is, frankly, it's been huge for us. It's been, you know, we find ourselves as a company that's, you know, we're 6 years old as a company. So we've been building our, you know, Mark has been building his tech for 10 years. We've been productizing it and marketing it for the last 6 years. All of a sudden, we find ourselves riding a wave that we didn't even expect to be riding this year.
One last question. You know, we've talked about a lot of different companies here, comparisons to, you know, Amazon and Meta. This one's a weird one, but stay with me. When I think about the ultimate future of where soul machines could go, I think about Netflix, which you might say, why? Cool. And the reason I do is think about the arc of Netflix, which was for so long a disc or DVD by mail business, and that some point made this pivot or, you know, jump into streaming and took it to the next level. I'm wondering whether in the fullest sense of success for what soul machines could be, whether, you know, let's say it's 2032 and it's no longer about animation, it's about machines, it's about robots. Are you thinking that far? I have to know.
I mean, of course, you know, because, yeah, I mean, you know, our digital brain and our virtual nervous system, today we're animating a CGI character. So, you know, in the future, maybe it will be a robot. I mean, the challenge for robots is, you know, the human face is incredibly complicated, you know, and the number of, you know, not just the skin textures and the, you know, and the way the light reflects off it, but the way our muscles move and the way we express emotion, that's a really, really, really challenging robotics, you know, problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen, you know, simple robots like Sophia, I guess, you know, who became a citizen of what was Saudi Arabia at some point in time. I mean, that's interesting PR type stuff, and we think about that. But yeah, I mean, yes, I mean, when you create you know, this concept of a digital brain and this concept of autonomous animation and a virtual nervous system, you know, you have to think about, well, at some point, is there a step into, rather than being a digital character, it becomes a 3D character, a real world character, like a humanoid robot, you know, like the robots that were envisaged in Westworld and the world of science fiction. And, you know, great storytelling. You know, we think we're going off and to have our ultimate fantasy holiday, and it turns into our worst nightmare. But, you know, we're back to the weird paradox of humans who are entertained by the fact that robots are going to come and kill us and and take over our lives again. So it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, we have to think about it. I mean, you know, and if you think of, you know, you think of the entertainment parks that exist. I mean, they use animatronics today.
That's right.
To, you know, bring characters to life, you know, whether it might be a dinosaur or a, you know, King Kong type character. So we already, you know, we have, you know, I mean, some of that exists today. So you can go into a, you know, an entertainment park or a theme park, and you can have an experience with an animatronics robot. And if you think about the components on that, you know, yes, there's a whole bunch of mechanical systems that, you know, mean they can do certain things, but the data that drives the things that they can do is very similar to the sort of data that's captured using motion capture systems and played back on top of CGI characters. So, you know, you can see that there are, you know, the building blocks, you know, from today already exist. That's where it goes, you know, as we move into the future. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but listening to this, my brain is spinning. I'm sure my listeners' brains are going to be spinning. Greg, thank you so much for coming in and talking about Soul Machines. This is going to be an interesting company to watch.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute blast being here.
This has been another episode of Strictly Business. Tune in next week for another helping of scintillating conversation with media movers and shakers. And please make sure you subscribe to the podcast to hear future episodes. Also, leave a review in Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.